the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Trevor Muller-Hagel.
I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
And I'm Charlie McCarron.
And this is our wrap-up slash bonus episode on Set Collection, where we just covered Splendor, Bonanza, and Spooktacular. All of these games tend to not have Set Collection maybe as its core mechanic. Splendor may have it as its most core mechanic, but I mean, Bonanza does too a bit. So it's really interesting how different you can use Set Collection in many different ways, right? How kind of diverse it can be, how simple it can be, or more complex. But maybe we should ask, like, what is Set Collection for how we're kind of viewing it for the series?
Yeah. I think I would say that Set Collection is where you have, you know, there's some variety of resources, and you're trying to get a particular set of them that you can trade in for something. And you need to have those specific resources in order to get the thing that you want.
It's not like a point per this or like something where it's more generic, but it's actually more fulfilling a recipe or something that's specifically called for by the game that you're trying to collect.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously in Bonanza, more beans is better, but there are like thresholds.
Specific thresholds. If you have more than that top threshold, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's just discarded. So like, I think that it helps us kind of clarify what we're talking about with Set Collection, because it seems like a very, very broad category. And we thought that we had done a lot more Set Collection games just because it's such a common mechanic. But we really haven't done many Set Collection games.
Yeah.
Using these.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
We haven't covered many. And also, I just realized, like, of the games I've made, I don't know that I've really done much Set Collection games. And maybe that's my predisposition for not doing games that have a lot of resources to gain and combo together. And maybe that's going to be my takeaway from this series is like, Charlie, why aren't you doing Set Collection?
Because
it's actually very satisfying in games.
Especially like lighter card games and things like that, which, you know, with the tariffs and everything, is a great thing right now, is having lighter games. So that could be a really good thing to work on.
I think one of the things that Set Collection does really well is making different players want different things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, I've got this set and you've got this different set, and I'm so close to finishing my set and you're so close to finishing your set, but maybe we're looking for different things.
Right.
Yeah. Especially like in Bonanza when we talked about
when you encourage trade.
I'm specializing in
that.
Soybeans, and you guys don't even want them in your hand, so give those over to me.
Well, and actually, sometimes you want different things, sometimes you want the same things. And in both cases, like, if you want different things, then maybe there's a trade.
Right.
And if you want the same thing, then there's a competition.
Yeah. So another thing, I asked you guys beforehand, like, what do you think was the first Set Collection game? And who knows what the first one
Jax.
Really was, but but like, yeah, some
pickup sticks. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe something. Wait, would Mancala? No, that's not.
No, we did this a lot earlier where we just start saying names of games. It's like no, no.
I realize that it's a good exercise too. So you should try this yourself. Like, come up with a list of games and try to describe whether or not it is a Set Collection game.
Or some other mechanic.
Or another mechanic.
But I think, like, probably one of the earliest would be card games. And, like, thinking about classic card games that are involving collecting sets would be, like, Rummy or poker, we mentioned, which... When you're describing the definition of set collecting, it does make me think, okay, poker, I think, still qualifies because there's specific types of hands that you're trying to aim for. It's like, well, this is a pair, so that's going to count for something. But if I get three of a kind, that's an even better set.
Right.
If I get
a full house,
that's
even better.
Yeah. And I think what makes set collecting fun is when you have multiple different ways your resources could be allocated to different sets, possibly. So usually what games have is like, oh, get a variety of different kinds or a bunch of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that axis of two different things can be a fun, like, competition or like tension in your
game. Yeah,
going
wide or deep, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's a common way to split it. A Seven Wonders with science, you have that, right?
Mm-hmm. You want to get every type of science or every, no, copies of the same science. Yeah. Triangulate. Yeah. Then if you have all three, you also get benefits. So it's kind of jumping on itself a lot, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you can combo it too, which is nice.
Yeah. And then you could even include, like in poker, having a run of the numbers too. Like if you have numbers in your game, getting a nice sequence where they're next to each other is another type of set, I guess, which none of the games we played
like sequential
did that, but yeah, like, oh, I need a run of three numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's even a smaller subset of certain resource or like suits.
Yeah, so I guess one question, you know, we've looked at all these games, is what mechanics does set collection go well with? Because one thing that jumps to my mind is drafting, and anything that's going to make players care about certain things more than others is going to be very good with drafting mechanics of any sort.
And obviously trading with Bonanza, like, set collection and trading is great because there's a lot of good tension. Yeah.
Drafting, trading, auctions.
Yeah.
How about like area control and set collecting? Like you have, there's gotta be a game like this where, ooh, I have to control three different territories in order to fulfill something.
Sounds like a dudes on the map situation.
Like Root. Crafting in Root requires that you control specific territories in order to play certain cards.
Oh, yeah. So there you go.
We've covered that.
Which is a nice way to do it, honestly, because it turns the set into a threshold rather than resources that you turn in.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we talked about a little bit, especially with Splendor. There's kind of two different ways that you can do set collection. Right, you can do it with, okay, I get these things, and then I trade them in, and I lose them, but I gain this other thing.
Right.
Versus, okay, I need to have these things. I need to have a certain threshold of these things in order to get something.
Right.
And threshold-based costs feel pretty nice because you don't have to give anything up to get them, and you can reuse them again and again.
Right. Like Splendor, having multiple nobles visit you because you have the most blue, and they all require blue.
Yeah. And
what was the game on our list? We were going through our whole list of games we've done, and there was a game where it was like, ooh, I put out stuff for everyone else that everyone else can also benefit from. Oh, I know. Akrotiri.
Oh.
Where we were just
the temples.
That one is all about like building out this map of and you have specific like essentially recipes cards that say if you can spot this type of arrangement on the map, then you get to fulfill that.
Two of this type to your west and one or something.
That one's...
In theory, everyone could benefit from the set that stays on the board.
Yes. Right. And that one's really interesting because there's an element of directionality to the sets. Like, it's not just what's on the board, but also where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually begs the question for me. What is the thought on co-ops with set collection? Is there going to be enough tension in there, or does there need to be a competitive element?
Well, we've played a co-op with set collection. We played The Banishing.
That is true.
Which is where you're collecting symbols to use your abilities.
Yeah, the tension is all on the board and like collecting the damage, basically, right?
Right.
Like, and you have to be careful about not over-collecting that, but yeah.
And that one's also kind of nice because you're drafting things to help each other.
Right.
Rather than hate drafting.
Yeah.
You're,
love drafting? Yeah. Is that what we call it?
Sure. Love drafting. But, and you're also trying to leave open symbols on the board that other players are going to need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like that idea of cooperative set collection.
Tension in there is going to be really tough, though. So, like, Banishing does a really good job of creating the tension internally. But, like, if you're trying to collect recipes and things, and then maybe there's more trading. trying to get the right things, but there has to be some kind of outward pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be really hard to just like, oh, well, yeah, obviously if I have something that they want, I just give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's some kind of thing that stops you from giving it them.
You can't let them just give it to them.
Yeah, there's got to be something there.
Mm-hmm.
Something in the way. Like a dragon. Well,
pandemic is trading cards, right? Because
that is set collection.
That is set collection to create the cures and like, yeah.
Yep.
And yeah.
And that's about the physical distance your characters are from each other.
Yeah.
Which the other tension is, well, you do have to spread out to actually
deal with
be effective on dealing with the problems. Yeah. Hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. How could we not talk about the other game on our list that we've done before? Set.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
The ultimate set collection
in your mind.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. If you haven't played Set, listen to that episode. We won't describe the game again.
But it hurts a lot for me.
But it's real time. You're just observing sets on the board.
Yeah.
Yep. It's all you just say set. You find three cards that match certain properties.
It's like three dimensions or three dimensions per card?
Four.
Four?
I think that's
color, what I
mean. Shape. Color, filling, and amount
number
of
objects.
Oh my god.
Well, we said we wouldn't describe it, and now we have.
now we have, but it's so simple.
Well, yeah, go ahead and go listen to that episode.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
How does that... Well, yeah, I'm just putting that in context of these other set collection games we've done.
You're trying to notice the set or the sets as they exist. So like you're not collecting them except to get the points. So you're visually collecting them in a moment in time.
And that's the thing, sort of like the thing I was talking about earlier, where there's like multiple axes of things these objects can be used for. And that's the fun of that one, is figuring out what is the... Which card should go with this card and this card? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sets are very easy to work into any game. I think it's just generally a good mechanic. You need to look with a lot of different things.
Yeah. And it can be intense or simple. Like, it can be the core or a secondary mechanic. Like, it's...
Very flexible.
Very flexible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think my takeaway for this series, which is maybe focused a little bit on what we learned from Splendor as opposed to the other two, but I kind of like the idea of mixing thresholds with temporary costs, where you're collecting resources, but some of them are temporary and some of them are permanent, and you mix them together. I think that just works very well.
Yeah.
And really maybe like even more temporary than Splendor, where it's like...
More temporary.
Well, like...
only for that turn.
What if they're time-based? Yeah, like only works for this particular turn, so you got to time it out. I don't know.
Or the specific moon phase.
Like Sprocket Forge. What if there were some gears turning and every... No.
Or they decay. You can have temporary resources that decay.
They get less good or
you
something.
You have to discard one from the stack every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that just generally seems like a good basis for a cost system.
Yeah.
Collect sets of things, and some of the things are permanent and some of them are temporary.
Yeah, and I think...
I was going to go on a tangent, so
oh,
you
great.
Go for it.
Well, I mean, mine was also going to be a tangent, so that's a...
Who's was more tangential? I was going to talk about Texas Hold'em.
Oh, I'm still on Splendor.
Okay, great. Go for it.
So, yeah, honestly, I might keep my takeaway around that 3-2-1 idea, but like where you have set collection and you have the ability to gain resources at a strong rate, but they may not be the resources you need or want at that time. And so you're trying to kind of plan for that future. And so make it so that, you know, you can really be kind of dynamic with your choices and like try to predict what's going to happen. I think that's a really fun way to play it. I think that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that makes me think, yeah, the idea that resources change their meaning to you over time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's pretty cool about how sets can work, too. It's like, well, I have three of the four colors I need, and the fourth one now on the board is like very rare or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Did you want to go on your tangent?
Sure. It was just a thought, like when we were talking about different ways to have the set represented, and thought about like communal sets, like in the game set, where there's things in the middle of the table that everyone can access. And made me think of Texas Hold'em, where it's like actually most of the set is just out.
Oh, you only have two cards,
and
right?
You're seeing how you interact with that from the two cards in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Predicting, that game's all about just predicting and trying to guess if you have the best set.
And really trying to bluff and use, you know, more intuition and see if you can figure out if someone has a good hand or a bad hand. Mm-hmm. So it's really only two cards that you're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a lot more interesting.
What kind of set collecting are you guys feeling inspired to try?
Well, I'm actually, right now I'm working on a new game actually that has currently an aspect of set collection. It was inspired by the Winston draft mechanics, but basically you sail a boat around to different islands, and each island has stuff that they want. In other words, you have to collect a set of resources to give them, and they have other things, other resources that they can give you. And so it's sort of trading between the different islands with a Winston draft style system, where every time you leave an island, you have to leave behind a resource that someone else can pick up from that island potentially.
And that was the one you talked about for Studies in Sorcery, right?
Yeah.
Talking about that.
Yeah, sort of inspired by the Winston draft mechanic from Studies in Sorcery.
Yeah, awesome. That's great.
Yeah. This I guess the other inspiration for this one is a game that we haven't talked about yet on the podcast, Sidereal Confluence, where a big part of Sidereal Confluence is that you collect sets of the same resource, and then you run them through a converter, and they turn into a bunch of different resources.
Oh.
And that encourages trade with those.
Okay.
In this case, the way it works is you need to give the island a bunch of the same type of resource, but then the resources that accumulate on the island over time are going to be a bunch of different ones.
Mm.
So in theory, you should naturally get that same dynamic of changing a bunch of the same thing into a bunch of different things, which makes you then take the different things and go out and find ways to use each of them.
Cool.
That's which fun. Is like back to your concept of side effects, where you get a new type of resource. It's like, ooh, what can I do with this?
Yes.
And yeah, that works really well with collecting sets.
Yeah. Every unsolicited resource is a goal. That's especially true with set collection, because if you have a resource that doesn't fit into one of your sets, you need to find a set that you can use it in.
Yeah. Trevor, you mentioned a game that you were thinking about adding set collection to. Or?
It's so hard because like I've been working on this game in different iterations for a very long time, longer than Archmagus, which is my other game I've been working on for a very long time. But I'm more so attached to the theme that I really just want to find the right set of mechanics to go with it. So it's my Heroes Born of Darkness game that I've been working on since 2016, 2015. I guess almost 10 years, so that's good. But basically, I really want to try using thresholds in it. And so you collect different cards that might have unique abilities on them that you can play. Then when it goes into your discard, it has a symbol on it. Then when you play the different symbols, once you have certain thresholds, it'll activate an ability of yours. Mm. I just feel like it's kind of a fun little like side set collection. And I'm wondering even like maybe that's not how everyone works, but maybe that's how an asymmetric character works or an asymmetric power works. Just so it kind of creates some more diversity and more like interesting things. And I was going to ask, what do you guys think about set collection being one character's or one player's thing where everyone else is not set collecting?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 It seems really interesting.
And maybe it could be that people are doing different types of set collecting too.
Right.
Yeah. It's
some have the threshold, some have the like, oh, if you have, you know, four of these, you play them all from your hand, and it creates this effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea, though, in general, of what you're saying. Like, you have these cards, kind of like when we were talking about Splendor, the noble tiles. Yeah. It's like, these cards are useful in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. And one of those ways is if you get the right set of them, then they allow you to unlock a new special superpower.
And it's kind of like, it's very similar to what Archimagus was in its deck building form, which is just kind of funny that I keep like circling around these mechanics and themes, just trying to find the right kind of combination to tweak them together. But
yeah,
it's always a fun adventure.
I'm trying to think what game has this. Maybe it's just a prototype I've played, but it's like you're building a tableau and the graphic design on the cards shows that if you combine or if you get two next to each other that match up, then you get something special like that before. Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talked about that for our game design game. At least briefly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I guess Sirens is one that does that kind of thing where you're making a song. The premise is like it looks like sheet music and you're trying to get color pairs next to each other. And that's kind of interesting, that mechanic, because it's like you're making a set, but you can't just apply the resources to anywhere. You actually have to order them in a way so they're like limited. Oh, this is like this card has this symbol on the left side, this has it on the right side, so you have to match them up and then they're used up for that order. Yeah, all sorts of ways to use set collection. So yeah, I think it's like a good spice to add to any game.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it makes you care about something.
Yeah.
In a way that a lot of other mechanics don't, you know, like you really like, oh, if I have this, then I can do this.
Yeah. I think that's a big advantage, making you care very much about certain things more than others.
And like we kind of talked about in the Splendor episode, it's fun if they let you do something that's not just for points. Like a lot of games, you get sets to get points, but it's cool if they unlock something for you from reaching that threshold.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think that wraps up our set collection series. So tune in next time for our next mechanics, and who knows what that'll be.
We sure don't.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com, where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.